morning, and may the Lord be with you. Welcome to our worship of God this morning. It is good to see you here. When worship is done, you're invited to our Brink Hall for a time of conversation and refreshment. And we thank Steve and Kathy Balser for hosting our coffee hour this day. While you are there, you might want to sign up on the bulletin board outside of my office for CDs that Rebecca Shepherd will make available of our Year in Review concert of 2 weeks ago. It was a wonderful concert, a nice turnout. The CDs came out good, and so sign up on the sheet outside my office door if you would like to have your own copy. This morning, we do thank Rebecca and our sanctuary choir, who sing for the last time before a well-deserved summer break, when schedules start taking people here and there and it's hard to get a rehearsal in. Thank you so much for all that you bring to our worship of God. Thanks too to the youth music group that has sung now for the last time. I've listened to part of the CD myself. Make sure you listen to that. So a huge thanks to all of our musicians today.
After worship today, you're invited to attend the church picnic and ride a wonderful set of trains. See that notice. You'll want to go along even if you haven't signed up. Make plans. Directions are available on the pew in the narthex. There are directions on how to get there. It's a wonderful opportunity, a beautiful day for a church picnic. You're invited.
At 4 o'clock today, the Classis of Schenectady gathers to close a sister church. The Woodlawn Reformed Church is worshiping for the last time this morning. The Classis will close the church this afternoon at 4 o'clock with a solemn service when we remember the history, the good ministry that's taken place there, but close the church and entrust its people into new churches, into new places of worship, into new venues of service. So for any of you that may have ever had a contact with that church, 4 o'clock this afternoon in the sanctuary of that Woodlawn Reformed Church.
And we remember Alicia Hermans and Lori Cooper, who had close family relatives in that congregation. And Alicia will be telling stories this afternoon, I understand. And so a church closing, it has served an incredible ministry up there on State Street. And we remember those who have dear memories and fond memories of having grown up in that congregation.
Talk to Alicia at coffee hour. Some of her stories are really good. Starting. 1, 2, 3.
All right, last week, Craig and I were in Pella, Iowa. We went to the Second Reformed Church in Pella, where dear friends Sophie and Steve Matinee Vandewall are the pastors. We love watching another couple lead worship because they did the exact same thing. And I lifted up my hands and clapped and waved because Craig and I regularly too. It was wonderful to be in another a big, big congregation and watch them step on each other's toes.
Is it my turn
this
now?
This time I
will. Starting next Sunday, our 8 o'clock worship will be held on the Brick Plaza, weather permitting. 8 o'clock, bring a lawn chair to sit on or a blanket, and you can sit on the concrete steps. But 8 o'clock, starting next Sunday, weather permitting, we worship outdoors. If it's too cold or if it's wet, we just slide back inside here.
Last Sunday was our last week of formal Sunday school classes. But this morning, Joanna Clark will gladly meet with our youngest learners at the regular children and worship time. They review the stories and put the stories away. So after the children's sermon, our youngest learners are welcome to go with Joanna into the worship center. This week, we welcome Kristen Shave as our new administrator in the office. Kristen will be working with Kathy Balser for 1 week, and then Kathy will And you will start to learn and get to know Kristen. Kristen also, following worship, will be selling strawberry jam at coffee hour down in Brick Hall, a wonderful way for you to get to know Kristen and Bill. A group of people came in to help pick and make strawberry jam as a fundraiser for Camp Fowler to supplement the jam that Betsy Homer already made this week. We've got lots of $6 jars and $3 jars of strawberry jam as a fundraiser for Camp Fowler. We're pleased that we got that all done yesterday.
Friday night, you're invited to gather with others behind the church right by the big cross there to watch the Jumpin' Jacks 4th of July, 1 week early, firework display.
In the summer, we will want to help distribute free lunches in Collins Park. See that notice? There is a sign-up sheet. We pretty well have volunteers, but there are a couple of spaces where we would like to have more people volunteering to distribute free lunches to the youth of our village at Collins Park. See that? So there are many ways in which we serve our world. We gather on the first day of the week as Christ's people to worship the one and give thanks for him who came as the light of the world. Lighting the Christ candle this morning are Ken and Jen Wilcox and brand new baby Ken Wilcox.
The last time he was up here, he got all wet. He's wondering.
Jesus said, "Lest we become as a child, we shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." We are blessed with the reminder of how we are called to live. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us
rejoice and be glad in it.
Bend an ear to me, O Lord. Answer me, I pray, for I am one miserable wretch. Keep me safe. Haven't I lived a good life? Help your servant, for I'm depending on you.
You're my God. Have mercy on me. I count on you from morning to night. Give your servant a happy life, I pray. I put myself into your hands.
Please pay attention to my prayer, O Lord. Bend down and listen to my cry for help. For there is no one like you among the gods, O Lord, and nothing can compare with your works.
All the nations that you made will one day come before you. One day they will bow down and glorify your name. For you are the one who accomplishes wondrous things. You alone are God. There is no one but you.
Thank you.
As part of our worship, God invites us to a time of reflection, to a time of honesty with ourselves and with God, because we know that before we even pray, that God has already promised to love us, to hear our prayer, to forgive us where we have gone wrong, and to send us out again on a new and on a right path. We know that God is more ready to hear our prayer than we ever are to pray. So as a part of our worship now, I invite you to a time of reflection and to a time of confession with me and with one another. Loving God, maker of all, have mercy on us. Jesus Christ, friend of those on the margins, have mercy on us. Holy Spirit, breath of life, have mercy on us. In silence, let us admit our frustration and confess our failings. Move among us, O God, give us life. Let your people rejoice in you. Make our hearts clean within us. Renew us in mind and in spirit. Give us again the joy of your help. Grant us your spirit of freedom to sustain us. Friends, let us remember and rejoice in this, the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. In Jesus Christ, we can begin again. Now, friends, hear God's promise made plain in Scripture, where it is written that the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of God as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. And this is God's truth. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Through Jesus Christ, our lives can be transformed. Dare to believe this and then go to live your lives this day and this week with courage and with freedom and with confidence.
Now, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and who has now given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. Therefore, be reconciled to God and to one another. This is how we are called to live. In gratitude, then, we bring our morning's tithes and our offerings, and this morning we bring also the gift of song. You're invited to join in the anthem by turning to number 150 in your hymn book, and you will join us at a particular place where you are directed. Let us give thanks.
Sing to the Lord a new song. Kate Delmas came to us but a year ago. 2 years ago, she graduated from Hope College. She's only 6 years older than the ones that just stood here. She has been an incredible gift to this congregation and to me personally. And now it is time to formally say goodbye to Kate as youth leader. But we are not saying goodbye to Kate, really. Kate, it is important for you also to have a book of prayers that as we ascend the seniors and bless them, so we bless you as you continue to walk with God. We also have something that your dear friend Kristen has offered you. Kristen probably is on vacation with her husband and isn't able to be here, but she left something for Kate. It is a painting entitled Kate.
Why don't you hold that?
And this is what your dear friend Kristen has written. This painting is acrylic and oils with cut paper on canvas. The title is appropriately named Kate. The background is full of energy and motion. Very gracious and gives fully of himself. Thank you for what you have meant to this congregation in this stream of voice. Significant role that you play here in the life of our young people. You want to say
Just saying. We turn now to the hearing of God's word. The lesson given to the church this day comes from the book called Genesis. It comes right after the story where Isaac is born to the old man Abraham and to the old lady Sarah. The child grew, that is, Isaac, and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, playing with her son Isaac. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not inherit along with my son Isaac." The matter was very distressing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you, for it is through Isaac that offspring shall be named for you. And as for the son of the slave woman, I will make a nation of him also, because he is your offspring." So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she cast the child under one of the bushes, and then she went and sat down opposite him, a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, "Do not let me look on the death of the child." And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of the God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Do not be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Come, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make a great nation of him." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got a wife for him from the land of Egypt. And this from Paul's letter to the Galatians, where it is written, "Tell me, you who desire to be subject to the law, will you not listen to the law?" That is, will you not listen to Torah, the first five books of the Bible where we just read? "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and the other by a free woman. One, the child of the slave, was born according to the flesh. The other, the child of the free woman, was born through the promise." Now, this is an allegory. These women are two covenants. One woman, in fact, is Hagar from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. Now, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the other woman corresponds to the Jerusalem above, for she is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Rejoice, you childless one, you who bear no children. Burst into song and shout, for the children of the desolate woman are more numerous than the children of the one who was married. Now you, my friends, are children of the promise like Isaac. But just as at that time the child who was born according to the flesh persecuted the child who was born according to the Spirit, so it is now also. But what does the Scripture say? Drive out the slave and her child, for the child of the slave will not share the inheritance with the child of the free woman. So then, friends, we are children, not of the slave, but of the free. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, children in the congregation, come and stand with me down in the front. on down. Now, I'm going to indulge myself today. That means that I'm going to do a children's sermon about something that interests me. And one of the things that interests me is this great and glorious creation in which we live. Did you know that yesterday was the longest day of summer? The days have been getting longer and longer and longer, and now they're going to start getting shorter and shorter and shorter until they get very, very short about at Christmas time. And then it will do that over and over again. And the reason for that is this is our globe. This is us right here. There's the United States. That's where we are. And our globe is tilted just a little bit. If the sun was over there, right now we're tilted toward the sun, and so our day is a little longer. Now that got me thinking. If the Earth is this big, do any of you know how big the moon is? How big is the moon? Yeah, it's about a quarter the size. It's this size. It's like this. This is the relative size of the moon and the Earth. Now, if this were the real moon and this were the real Earth, where would the moon be? Would it be here? Or would it be here? Or would it be here? Or would it be here? Where would it be? Okay, well, I want to, Gracie, could you hold the Earth for me? Let me show you where the moon would be. One, two, three, nine, ten, nine. The moon would be over here. It's a long ways away, isn't it? Gracie, you can stand up. Like that. And now, do you know where the sun would be? You're exactly right, Julia. It would be outside. Whoa. It would be outside. In fact, it'd be way over by the high school. That far away. Way over there. So that's done. And I just wanted you to know that. And maybe your folks might be interested in that, too. We'll all learn something today. But we live in a great and wonderful world. And starting next week, there are some people from our church and people from other churches that are going to go to Camp Fowler to learn how to be staff together. And then after that, kids are going to start to go to Camp Fowler in order to learn all about God's love and Jesus' love and our good creation. And one of the songs that kids sing up at Camp Fowler is in our hymn book, and I thought we'd all sing that this morning. It's called Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. Let's pray, and then let's sing that song together, remembering that we live in a great and wonderful and amazing world. Pray with me. Lord, thank you for each one of these, your children. Grant that they may grow up and be astonished at the wonder of it all and of how you invite us to be in relationship to you. Thank you that you love us and that you invite us to love you in return. Help us all to seek first your kingdom before all else. In Christ's name, amen. Okay.
Thank you.
may the words of my mouth and may the meditations and the thoughts of our hearts and our minds be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You have to wonder why that story is in the Bible, don't you? That story about Abraham driving off his son and his son's mother, Hagar, and Ishmael driving them off into the wilderness, and how God said to do that. You know, it didn't need to be there. That was one of the stories that could have been forgotten in the telling through the ages, and when it came down to write them all down, it could have been forgotten. That story of Hagar and Ishmael, it would have been so easy to edit it out. It is, after all, a sideline story, a dead-end story. The main story continues on without it throughout the rest of the Bible. You know the main story, I think, about how God came one day to Abraham and Sarah and said to them, go. You know, leave what's familiar. Leave your home. Leave your kindred. Leave your land. Leave the house of your parents and go, and I will be with you. I will show you a new land. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing to all the other nations. And so Abraham and Sarah went, and they found that God was faithful. God kept them safe when they wandered through foreign lands. Abraham and Sarah became rich. They had large numbers of sheep and goat. And God was faithful to them in beginning a great nation through them. To Abraham and Sarah was born a son, Isaac. Isaac, a strange name for a child. It's the Hebrew word for laughter. The story continues, and the story tells us that the future is God's future, that God's promises may be trusted, that God is gracious. God chose Abraham and Sarah not because they were particularly good or noteworthy. There's nothing about that in the Bible. God just chose them in his gracious will. God was gracious to them, not because of their merit or their achievement, but just because that's the way God is. It's a great story, one that we want to hear. It's wonderful to hear that God is gracious, that God can be trusted. That's why you come to church on Sunday morning. It's a wonderful story, but it's not the whole story. Like your life and like mine, the whole story is just a little bit more complicated. Have you ever noticed that? That sometimes it gets complicated? You remember that God's promise to Abraham and Sarah was delayed. In fact, children didn't come. Not for a long time, and Abraham and Sarah got older and older, and there was no child, no start of a great nation. And so Abraham and Sarah took matters into their own hands. And Sarah said to Abraham, take Hagar, my maidservant, and have a child by her. And Abraham did and had a child by Hagar. In those days, that wasn't considered adultery. That was the practice of the day. They did it for all the right reasons. But trouble soon followed. Apparently, there came a day when Hagar, who was present, who was pregnant, spoke in a demeaning way to her mistress, Sarah. And Sarah said, get out. Hagar had to leave her mistress's house. And God spoke to Hagar and said, don't worry. Don't worry, go back. I'm with you. Go back to your mistress. And she went out, and she was there, and she had a child finally, called the child's name Ishmael. And it was after Ishmael was born that old Sarah herself conceived, as I said, named the child Laughter. Laughter because an old lady had a baby, and laughter because that weight had been taken off in their shoulders. God had kept his promise. Two sons. Ishmael, the son of works, the son of taking matters into your own hands, and Isaac, the son of grace, the son of the unexpected gift, the son of the promise. And the scriptures tell us that God had regard for both. Abraham had regard for both, but Sarah did not. And Ishmael is written out of the story. But the story continues through Isaac, who became the father of Jacob, who became the father of Joseph. That's how the children of Israel got into Egypt. From there, there was the great Exodus, and Joseph became the great-great, ever-so-great grandfather of David, who was the great-great, ever-so-great grandfather of Jesus, and that's how we are brought into the story. The story is about God's grace, but God does not forget Ishmael. Ishmael had also received a promise. Ishmael also had rights. God does not forget his people, in other words, not just people of faith. People through whom the story continues, God remembers all of his people, and that's something for us to remember today. The tradition surrounding Ishmael in the Bible has it that Ishmael became the ancestors of the Arab, became the ancestor of the Arab people. If so, God's heart must certainly be broken in our days because of the sectarian divide and the violence between Shia and Sunni Muslim. But on to Galatians. Finally, in this letter of Paul, Ishmael reappears. Galatia, you may remember, that is in Paul's days where central Turkey is today. Paul took three great missionary journeys that are recorded in the book of Acts. And it was on his first missionary journey that he went through Galatia and spent time there, founded four churches. One of them was at Antioch. Antioch was the place where people who followed the way of Jesus were first called Christians, little Christs. Paul's message to the Galatians is that we are made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. We are made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means that no matter how we may feel about ourselves, we are valued by God because Christ died for us, no matter how we may feel about ourselves. We are valued by God because Christ died for us. Remember that on days when you don't feel good about yourself, about who you are. No matter how we may feel about ourselves, we are valued by God too. Our future is a future of hope because our future is a future with God. Our futures are futures of hope because our futures lie in the hand of God. You can believe that. You may dare to believe that when your future looks grim. Third, our value and our future come from God's love and from God's grace alone. We do not earn them. We cannot earn them. Paul preached that to the Galatians, and then he left to go preach elsewhere. And then somebody or some other people came and talked to the Galatians, and their theology changed. People in the Jewish faith grew suspect of Paul and of Christians. At first they welcomed them, but then grew suspicious of them. And following up on Paul, some of these people came to the Galatian churches and said, "No, that's not quite right. We are right with God. We are loved by God if and only if we obey God's law." And by that they meant all the Old Testament laws about dietary restrictions and ritual cleanliness and all those kinds of things. And Paul hears of that and he writes, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" And then he tells a story. He tells the Ishmael story. Ishmael, according to Paul, was born according to works, according to the works that Abraham and Hagar and Sarah had cooked up with one another. Isaac was the son born of the promise. In the same way, our hope, our future, our worth does not come from what we do. It doesn't come from the plans that we make. It comes from God's grace and God's promise alone. We do not earn God's love of you and me. Our worth in God's eyes is God's free gift. Remember that. The work that is given to us to do is the work of faith, the work of believing the truth about ourselves, that we are valued, that we are forgiven, that we are made right with God through Jesus Christ. And the work of believing that about others as well, that they are also valued. We're to lose ourselves in the grace of God, not be quite so mindful about how we might be deserving of that grace. There's a story that's told about a correspondent, an editor, a journalist that came to Itzhak Perlman, the great violinist, the man who's in a wheelchair. And they said, you know, when you play, thousands of people listen to you. Some of them are violinists themselves. How do you keep from getting all knotted up? And he said, you have to forget yourself. You have to forget yourself entirely, and you have to embrace the music. You have to be filled with the music. Only then can you perform like that. It's something like that for us. In following Christ, we lose ourselves. We stop worrying about whether or not we're worthy or doing the right thing or on the right road, and embrace fully the love of God and embrace fully God's asking of us to love others in return. There are two people, Paul says, two kinds of folks. The sons of Ishmael who try to earn and deserve and get God's favor, and the sons of Isaac who accept grace as a free and wonderful gift. Does it remind you of two other sons in the Bible? It sort of does me. Remember the prodigal? Younger son that took his father's inheritance, ran off, had a hi-ho time until the money ran out, came back home and was welcomed by his father. The older brother saw the whole thing, the one who had done the right thing, the one who had demonstrated that he deserved his father's love, that he deserved his father's regard because he had been loyal to his father. The one received a party, the other was invited to the party, but couldn't decide whether to go or not. Friends, God's grace, God's regard of you, God's promise that in Christ you have a future is God's free gift. You don't earn it. You can't earn it. You only receive it. Our response is like Itzhak Perlman, to lose ourselves in the story, to forget ourselves, to come into the party and embrace others as our God has embraced us. Amen. We remember Betsy and Joe Homer this morning. Joe remains a resident at Theresian House. We remember Elaine Wilcox in the passing of her stepfather this past week. And we hold up today Candy LeClaire's brother, Mal Cinquino, who just found out that he has lung cancer. Candy, we pray for you and for your family and for your brother this day. And up there in the corner are Brian and Emily, who will become husband and wife this weekend. We pray for you and look forward to that grand and glorious occasion. Pray with me. Because we did not make ourselves, because we do not keep ourselves, and because we cannot always forgive ourselves, our hearts reach out to you, O God. This morning we thank you that we are and that you made us. We thank you that you have preserved us to this day, and in spite of all that we have done to betray your name and besmirch your call upon our lives, we bless you that still you call and still you give us work to do. So this morning we think of the hills we have still to climb, for the burdens we have still to carry, for the temptations we have still to resist, and for the fears we have still to overcome, and we bless you for them, for they turn our hearts to you, and you are faithful, and you are God. We thank you for all that helps us on our pilgrim ways. We thank you for the remembrance of those who walked this way before us and who did it faithfully and who did it well. We thank you for subtle signs of your presence, often in unlikely places, that give us pause and help us to know that we are not alone. We thank you for the witness of lives given over to your service in selfless love. We thank you for the work of your Spirit in our minds and hearts, challenging, comforting, healing, and calling us to the service of Jesus Christ and of his purpose for the world. And today especially, we give you thanks for the gift of music and for those who lead us with their talent and with their voices. We thank you for the gift of music. With all that is within us, we proclaim your goodness and we speak your praise. And we pray today for all those who seek as Christians to serve the greater good and to express in daily life your call to love others as we love ourselves, and to serve as you served. We pray today for all businessmen and women who shun the shoddy product and the inflated price in an effort to serve the public well. We pray for those who tend or care for others through the healing arts and who do so knowing that Christ our Lord was also a healer and who do their work mindful of him. We pray for government workers who perform their often tedious tasks with good cheer and patience. We pray for educators who care as much about developing the character of their students as about imparting knowledge, understanding that all truth is God's truth. And we pray for students who pay attention not only to what subjects they like, but also of how their interests can be put to Christ's service and to the service of the common good. Be especially with our graduates, we pray. Help these and help us all to keep at it, and through our collective ministries, may our nation and our world find its soul again. And now, O gracious God, we pray that you shine the light of your truth upon our less than perfect hearts, for left to our own understanding, we have a way of befriending sin and opposing that which leads to life. Help those who pass through heavy seas to ride out the storm. Be with Betsy and Joe. Be with Elaine and her family. Be with Candy's brother, Mel. Be with them all. By your providence, lead those who are down on themselves into some life experience in which they will see their worth and in which their worth will be affirmed. Call back to your side those who can remember a day when they loved you more. And for all those who weep the tears of grief or regret or guilt or fear, renew in their mind's eye the vision of the earth's first Easter, so that they may understand that that weight that troubles them so is one of the things that must finally in Christ work together for their good. All of this we pray in faith and with thanksgiving, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us how to pray as he prayed, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
keep you. The Lord be kind and gracious to you. The Lord smile upon you and give you peace today and all days. Amen.